This is Tuesday, February 12th, 2019. It's time to roll neat and look for America's next top podcaster. This is episode 279.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, Horde and Alliance podcasters and podcastees, welcome to Realm Maintenance. I'm Brian Black, also known to many of you as Ro. There is plenty to get to this week, and it all begins as we go around the world of Blizzard in 80 seconds. In World of Warcraft news, the European Guild Method once again proved its dominance in the race to World First by being the first to defeat Jaina Proudmoore on Mythic difficulty. US Guild Limit was the second group to complete the Mythic battle for Desired Lore, but not before Method did it twice. The second wing of Raid Finder opens up today, as well as the Love is in the Air World event. However, if you're trying to win the Pink Love Rocket Mount, you will need to do so with characters that are level 110 or higher. Last week's patch to Hearthstone brought with it significant nerfs to some basic and classic set cards, including Hunter's Mark, Emerald Spellstone, Equality, Flametongue Totem, and Cold Blood. Paris is the setting for the next Assault map in Overwatch and is currently in testing on the PTR. The second season of Overwatch League also kicks off on Thursday. Heroes of the Storm production director Kyle Milker announced last week that significant changes for the game are coming, most notably the currency and the collection system. As of today's Resistance patch, all skins will be able to be purchased individually with gems or shards at any time. Further, starting next month, players will be able to convert gold to shards, providing more flexibility in how content is unlocked. And finally, if you're into the lore of Diablo, it may interest you that the Book of Adria is now available on the Blizzard Gear Store, Amazon, or other major book retailers.
Time's up. Let's do this.
Let's move on to show notes, where I point out some of the more interesting bits of podcasting happening throughout all the shows covering Blizzard games. We're going to start with Hearthstone this time around, as there are a couple of huge interviews I definitely recommend listening to if you care about the future of the game. Episode 300 of The Angry Chicken last week included an interview with Peter Whalen, and game designer Dean Ayala, better known as Ixar, appeared on the most recent episode of Value Town to discuss their reasoning behind the most recent card nerfs, as well as their long-term vision for the game. Meanwhile, Twitch streamer Major Death paid another visit to the Velen's Chosen podcast to discuss ways to improve your game while climbing the rank ladder. The Freezing Nomad podcast returned from hiatus a couple weeks ago with episode 15. Episode 16 was just posted a couple of days ago if you want to catch up there. While there was no new episode of Lagging Balls this week, you'll still get a healthy dose of both Thorn and Thist by listening to the most recent episode of Azeroth Roundtable. A moment ago, I mentioned that the second wing of Raid Finder opens up today, but is there anything that can be done to improve the overall experience? Raven and EJ welcome back Cornwolf to Girls Gone Wow on episode 352 to discuss that and more. The Half Hill Report is doing something a little different with its most recent episode. Tosh Mifune interviews Frazzly Sparkspan the Gnome in the start of a series of chats focused on how hostilities between the Alliance and Horde might be ended. An episode or two ago, I mentioned the start of two new WoW podcasts, Morally Grey and Tales of War. While it may be a little while before those shows are featured here with an interview, you can get to know more about the hosts of each show on the most recent episodes of Whispers of War. Turning the Heroes of the Storm, a quick congratulations to the Gankbush Squad on the recording of their 150th episode. Jules Scott had a great time interviewing Heroes caster and content creator Jay Howe on episode 27 of Heroes News, and the crew of Lords of the Storm welcomed Heroes Hearth co-founder Workhorse on episode 202 of their show to talk about recent and upcoming tournaments, as well as a possible leak of the next hero to join the roster. Wrapping up Heroes Podcast News, the crew of Core has decided to make some changes to the show, and if you're a fan of Scott, John, and Bo, I strongly suggest listening to their latest episode to learn about those changes as Core begins to travel in a new creative direction. Finally, in Overwatch Podcast News, the High Noon Podcast celebrated 150 episodes of its show by making some bold predictions for Season 2 of the Overwatch League, and Boston Uprising Academy member Io Stux talked about coaching philosophies and broader competitive Overwatch topics on episode 18 of Tactical Crouch. Of course, what I've mentioned is just the tip of the iceberg. There's at least 60 other podcasts which produced the show last week alone. So, without further ado...
Cheers, love! The cavalry's here!
Yes, it is once again time for your weekly podcast roundup, an insanely quick rundown of every podcast I'm aware of that covers a Blizzard game and produced an episode between February 4th and 10th of 2019. For General Blizzard Podcast, we have All Things Azeroth, All Net News, Blizzard Watch, A Blue Recluse, Epic Fail, Frozen Nerds, Geeks of Azeroth, Group Quest, The Instance, Lagging Balls, and The Sundering. World of Warcraft shows include the AIE Podcast, Azeroth Roundtable, The Converted, Control at WoW, Darkmoon Herald, Decoded, Do Not Relent, Dungeon Fables for Azeroth, Frazzlecast, Girls Gone Wild, The Half-Hill Report, Lion's Pride Tavern, Middlefinger Podcast, Morally Grey, Pwncast, Rolling Restart, Roll Need, the Starting Zone, Tales of War, technically PvP, Whispers of War, World of Warcast, WoW Challenges, WoW Talk, and WoWhead Weekly. Inside the Tavern for Hearthstone, we have 60 Iron Dust, Arena Sensei, Blizzard, Hearthstone, Brewmasters, Coin Concede, Hearth Casual, Hearth Coach, Hero Power Cast, Legend of the Innkeeper, Off Curve, Omnistone, Tier 5 Podcast, Foul Town, Velms Chosen, Walk to Work, and Wellmet. Shattered Soulstone covered Diablo last week, the Pylon took care of StarCraft, Heroes of the Storm podcasts include Core, Gangbush Squad, Heroes News, Bejeweled Scott, Into the Nexus, and Lords of the Storm. And finally, for Overwatch, we have the Birdwatchers, Blackwatch Report, Broverwatch, The Cavalry, Game Watch Today, Heroes Never Die, High Noon, Omnic Lab, On the Flank, On the Point, The Overcast, Overwatch League Network, Owl by the Numbers, The Owl Recap, and Tactical Crouch. You can catch a weekly podcast roundup during this show and at the end of the Rolling Restart podcast. For links to all these shows and more great Blizzard podcasts, go to realm-maintenance.com. That's your podcast news. Let's move right along to the podcast spotlight of the week. For over a year now, there have been other podcasts fighting Blizzard-focused podcasts for my downloads and attention. The shows in question are ones that tell stories of treasures, traps, conflict, laughs, and much more in a number of worlds via the medium of Dungeons & Dragons. Shows like Critical Role, There Will Be Dungeons, and others inspired me to get in on the action myself even. Today, however, the spotlight is on a show that features a collision of worlds, a Dungeons & Dragons podcast set in the realm of none other than Azeroth. The show is cleverly named Roll Need, and today I'm happy to have the Dungeon Master of the show here to talk about it. He is Jared Eggleston, better known in the Heroes of the Storm community as Zoya. Welcome to the show, man. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Glad to be here. It's been a while since I've seen you. I think it was 2 BlizzCons ago, and we barely ran into each other. It was kind of like a, hey, man, later.
It's like, oh, hey, it's Zoya from Town Hall Heroes. Oh, you're that podcaster guy, Ro. Hey, how's it going? Okay, see you later.
Yeah, BlizzCon
is always crazy like that. Oh, yeah, it always is. And, you know, it's really interesting seeing that you and, of course, Jake and a number of other people are involved in this kind of show. I mean, you've been a podcaster and an esports manager, among other things. What is it that prompted you and the rest of the guys to create Roll Need, and what prompted you to be Dungeon Master of this show?
Long story. It started with, as you forementioned, Critical Role. Well, even dating back before that, I became a fan of Dungeons & Dragons through ItMeJP, actually. Okay. He did the real role-play show originally with In Control, and I just became a fan of that then. But I never wanted to play until I started watching Critical Role. And then after, you know, 2 years of watching and begging friends to DM, I decided to start DMing. And I started DMing about March of 2018. We did an offline game with 2 of the guys on the show, John and Zach, playing Stir and Stick on the show. We did an offline game for a while. Eventually that fell off, but that's how I got into Dungeons & Dragons, so I'm still very new. I haven't been dungeon mastering for, I haven't been playing for over a year yet. Started last year in March. But when it comes to Warcraft, I mean, I've been playing Warcraft since the classic WoW beta, or not the original vanilla WoW beta. My cousin got in and I played on his account. And then since the last, I don't know, since 2010, I've been playing on vanilla private servers. I just love that game to death. And the last 2 to 3 BlizzCons, I've just been waiting for classic WoW info. And when we finally got classic WoW and I started getting the dungeon mastering, and as the classic WoW hype keeps ramping up, it just became, okay, we can't play classic WoW now, but we kind of can. So let's start a D&D show in classic WoW. And of course, I had the long history of Jake. I've known him since about 2010, working with him in esports throughout many different games, StarCraft, Heroes. We worked on Amazon games together, and it just made sense. I mean, he was a Dungeons & Dragons nerd. We were good friends, and he can produce a show, so that's kind of how it came to be.
Awesome. Now, I have to imagine that since there's no official rules for doing Dungeons & Dragons in Azeroth, and the classes are a bit different, spell casting, you would imagine, is a little tricky and a little bit different. What kind of challenges have you faced in trying to adapt Azeroth to the D&D system?
It's actually been pretty easy. Our original plan was to just play standard 5th edition and just rename the spells as we go. Oh, we're casting Firebolt. Okay, that's a fireball right from a mage, okay. You know. That was our original plan. But we actually, I was doing some research online, and I found a subreddit where people make their own rule guides. And we found a guy named Jahia. He made a 5th edition rule set that he's homebrewed. And it's actually a World of Warcraft homebrew. Now, it's not designed for Classic WoW. It's actually designed for Retail WoW. So you have classes like Death Knight in it. You have, the Draenei and the Blood Elves, which, of course, weren't a part of Classic or original Vanilla WoW. Pandas are in the rulebook. Monks, you know, all these classes and stuff. So he designed it for just general World of Warcraft. I think it's in its version 2.0. We've been helping beta test it. But we just kind of got lucky hitting that. So it wasn't, honestly... DMing this is a lot easier than my old campaign. It's very simple to me.
Awesome. And of course, you've mentioned a couple of times that one of the focuses for this podcast and just the setting of the show is that it takes place in Vanilla WoW, or the basically the early days of World of Warcraft, back when Onyxia was still plotting and scheming and Anduin was but a wee lad. What is it for you about those early days? Why is the earliest years of the WoW story so important to you? What's the magic about that time?
Because you are so unimportant at that time. You are a nobody in the World of Warcraft at that time. People don't know you. Kings push you aside. You're not the champion of Azeroth like you are in current WoW. You're just a nobody exploring the world. You don't have flying mounts, so the world just feels so massive. I mean, the game really feels big. That's why, again, I've been playing on private servers since 2010, just only almost exclusively vanilla servers. Just time and time again, re-rolling 1 to 60 over and over. The game is just so, has so much depth to it. And there's so much lore and quests and stories and plots that just go on all throughout just that one expansion. Don't even look at Burning Crusade. Just the what's going on in the original Vanilla Warcraft. There's just so much rich storytelling. It just made sense to bring it over to D&D. There's just so much you can pull from. But I just love that game, man. It's just... I don't know. I don't know why I love it. Some people say it's nostalgia, but for me, it's not. Clearly, I've leveled 1 to 67 times now on private servers. So it's clearly not nostalgia for me.
Well, I definitely hear the passion in your voice, and I've known quite a few other people who are very passionate about the earlier days of WoW. I mean, if there weren't people that were passionate about Classic, there wouldn't be a WoW Classic coming out in summer. So obviously, the demand is there, the love for that period of the game is there.
Were you playing back then, out of curiosity?
I joined in early Burning Crusade, actually.
Oh, okay.
I joined just before Black Temple opened up.
Oh, right on. Okay. That's still early days, so.
Yeah, still relatively early, but I mean, I never got to participate, you know, in a true Molten Core raid. The old Naxxramas wasn't even a thought to me, you know, so. But still, I can say I was there back then, but not all the way back then.
Close enough in my book.
Oh, yeah. Now, curiously, you did mention, you know, one of the things about that time was, you know, the lack of flying. And that actually brings up an important thing for me to keep in mind is that, you know, there are certain game mechanics that we take for granted in WoW, you know, whether today or even back in the classic days. Every player has a Hearthstone. Mages have portals and teleports that are just a common everyday spell. I mean, travel in general from place to place is hardly even an issue. So I'm kind of curious, in what ways does the Azeroth of Roll Need differ from the Azeroth of, say, retail World of Warcraft, even back in the classic days?
The way I am approaching it is, let's say you were playing World of Warcraft vanilla or classic whenever it comes out. You're this adventurer whose goal is to reach the end game and be a hero of the world. Like, that's what you can assume your character's ambitions are. Mm-hmm. For these guys, these are just random citizens. They start off as nobodies. I mean, you have to think World of Warcraft, when you look at Ironforge in-game, Ironforge has a population of 400,000.
Yeah.
So, of course, you have all these adventurers running around, but there's also so many citizens and civilians who aren't going to be able to purchase a portal from a mage right away, or, you know, don't have access to hippogriffs because you're a civilian. Why would you want to spend money on a hippogriff flying to Fellwood? Go bake bread or something, right? That's how these guys are starting off. They're just essentially starting off as NPCs. They're nobodies. They got a quest. They went and did it. And it's a slow ramp. So, eventually, sure, they'll be able to take griffins places. Eventually, there will be mages who can portal them. But I would say it's no different than a normal D&D world. You would have, you know, high powers in a normal D&D world who can cast portals and summons and stuff.
A Hearthstone may exist, but it would almost kind of be like a bag of holding in rarity. It's something that
exactly.
You wouldn't find anywhere.
We could essentially get these guys. I could essentially create items that are Hearthstones in the game and give them to them eventually.
Yeah.
But right now they don't have that stuff. They're very. It's the way I'm approaching it is D&D first, Warcraft second.
Okay, sounds good. And speaking of Warcraft and kind of the story of Warcraft now, there are so many storylines. I mean, I still remember my days of, you know, creating a character from 1 to 60, and all these different areas of Azeroth from Eastern Kingdoms and Kalimdor have so many different storylines just within a single zone. You could probably run a D&D campaign in Westfall alone for several weeks, and I know you guys have touched on some of the Eastern Kingdoms areas already, but one thing that kind of struck me as a curious thought is that there is the potential for your characters and these players to make decisions that could cause events that happen in Azeroth to play out very differently than the way we knew them to play out in canon. So do you kind of treat this as like an alternate timeline Azeroth then, allowing the players to basically cause history to go a different way if they do things that end up in that way? Or are you going to like try to bring in the Bronze Dragonflight to correct history if something goes awry?
See, that specifically will cross when we get to that point. Right now, the way I've structured the campaign is while we get to the end point of whatever quest or mission we're on, maybe differently, a different route, it's the same solution. So essentially, just to go over our first few episodes, they started in Ironforge, and then their first quest was given to them by the guy who sells rams east of Ironforge. To go kill Vagash, the elite that's been picking off his rams. I mean, that's not how the quest happens, and he doesn't come to Ironforge, and you don't do it at level 1, you do it like level 8 or 10. So while the quest is there, how we're doing it is differently. As for monumental stuff, I mean, right now we are in Westfall right now. We're actually, the current arc will end with Van Cleef somehow or another. But everything that's going on in the zone is very different than what happened in WoW. It's the same quest, but you gotta take some liberties with D&D.
Yeah, and I also think that it's better to do your take or your view on it because it allows listeners to, I mean, listeners might think they know where the story's going, but it could play out a little bit differently than, you know, how they played it in the game.
Yeah, exactly. The setting of the show starts off with me saying that there is a war up north. There is a war between South Shore and Taran Mill, and Stormwind is pulling its guards to go help fight the front. Part of the reason the Teat Party eventually went to Red Ridge is because they were hired as temporary guards while the new guards were being trained. That doesn't really happen in WoW. There was never a war in South Shore and Taran Mill. That's a reference to all the PvP battles that happened in South Shore and Taran Mill. There wasn't a war, but we talk about it in game. Thrall's Horde are attacking South Shore. That's not really a major lore point that ever happened in vanilla WoW, but there's always that contention there. So it's not just the PvP aspects. Like, D&D doesn't have guilds. This world has guilds. There are NPCs that I'm playing that will try to recruit them to their guild, and eventually will go raid ZG or Molten Core, you know, at level 13 or 14 with, you know, 20 NPCs they've met over the place. You know, you have to take your liberties, but when you change it up like this, you're also surprising the players because, again, you know all the WoW lore, right? You will know what to expect. So when you throw in these little curveballs, you can keep surprising them.
I get that, and I think that's a great way to approach it. I feel like a show like this is something that should definitely be experienced from beginning to end. So if someone's going to get into this show, they really should listen at episode 1. I've listened to the first few episodes. I'm not really caught up to where you guys are. I think you're about 15 or 16 episodes in. I'm at
something like that.
I'm at 7 or 8 right now. I definitely feel we should start episode one, and I don't want to get too much into spoilers here. With that in mind,
I'm willing to talk about spoilers.
Over these first 15 episodes, what have you enjoyed the most so far just about producing the Roll Need podcast?
Wow. So there was a moment in one of the first few episodes where I hinted that the first boss, the first quest they're doing, Vagash, the Yeti, the Wendigo, you know, he's up in a cave above the ranch where you buy your rams. But for me in the game, I had him have his lair at the old Ironforge airport. Now, if you played Vanilla WoW, the only way you got there back then was through exploiting, and it was nowhere like it is in current WoW. It was very different. But when I said the old Ironforge airport, everyone's faces lit up because they had completely forgot about the old Ironforge airport. I think there's a gnome quest chain there in retail WoW, so it's completely different now. And then in the most recent episode, they arrived in Darkshire and Stitch is attacking. So that was really cool to reveal a big abomination's about to kill them all. That's our next episode. So
it definitely sounds exciting. A fight between the party and Stitches should pretty epic. Last question I have for you before we wrap things up here, I always try to ask a question that involves the name of the show. So this is going to be a little bit different for you. If you could roll need on one item in World of Warcraft and get an automatic 100 on it, what would you roll need on?
Probably Corrupted Ashbringer.
Okay.
That's just such a cool weapon.
No doubt about it. It's just, and also very hard to get even when it was obtainable in the first place. But that kind of also speaks to just vanilla and all the craziness that vanilla brought.
Yeah, it just speaks to not just the craziness that it brought, like just there was so much mystery with that game. You got this item, Corrupted Ashbringer, that had nothing written on it. But when you walk through Scarlet Monastery or Cathedral with it, no one attacks you. They all salute you, and then they praise you at the end. That's nowhere written in the game. That's just a teaser left by Blizzard. It's just cool stuff like that.
Even know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah, YouTube it. Or YouTube Corrupted Ashbringer Cathedral. You walk through Cathedral and Scarlet Monastery, and no one attacks you, and then there's a big ceremony for you when you get to the end where the final bosses are.
It'd be interesting to see if Ashbringer ever comes up in Roll Need. Who knows if it will? That's kind of a very separate thing, but
one day, maybe.
Yeah, one day. There's so much potential for some really awesome stories out of this podcast. And myself being a fan of Dungeons & Dragons podcasts and just being the WoW fan that I am, I'm really excited to see this show happening and put together. And I hope you guys keep it going for quite some time. For my listeners, how can they best get connected with the show? I know you guys do live stream it on Twitch, so if you can tell them about when you produce the show and how they can find it otherwise.
Yeah, we're not really too set on our live schedule right now. We just kind of do it when we can record it. So you can watch that at twitch.tv/solidjakegg. The best way to watch our show would be on YouTube, though. YouTube.com/solidjakegg. We got a playlist there where we upload all the videos. If you want to watch it live, you can. It's just we film when we can. So it's not like a always Monday at this time yet. Right now it's, we can all film Sunday, so we're going to record at 10 a.m.
All right. Sounds good. Well, Jared, thank you very much for being on the show. I definitely appreciate it. And best of luck to you and the players in their continuing adventures in World of Warcraft.
Thank you.
It is once again time for some RNG on the show. And of course, as always, it never means random number generator. It always means something else. Now, I'm almost sure I know what RNG stands for today, but I'm going to need a little bit of help from a friend here. So, Brian Ibbett, I need a noun that starts with G.
G, a noun. Could it be game show? Is that what you're looking for?
You know what? That's two words, but let's go with it. You know, some people say game show is one word. We'll go with it. I'll take it. So today, RNG stands for Robust Nutritious Game Show.
Perfect.
I can only wonder, I guess the Food Network could do a robust, nutritious game show.
They probably have five of them that they label as that when they are looking for potential investors.
Yeah, yeah. Like, think Iron Chef, but with calorie counts and everything.
Exactly. Yes. I love it.
Well, speaking of game shows, now, this show, Realm Maintenance, is... been a podcast about podcasts, and this week the reason why I want to have you on in the segment is I want to use a segment to let listeners know about another podcast about podcasts, but a very different kind of one, and one that really has me interested. And I just as we're recording this, I just finished listening to episode one of this. So of course people know you from shows like Coverville, Filmsack, and TMS, but you got this new show, and it's a game show of sorts, so why don't you tell people the nutshell gist of it, what it's all
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely, the elevator pitch.
Yes.
It's called America's Next Top Podcaster, which is a shortened form of the original title, which was So You Think You've Got the Talent to Be America's Next Top Podcasting Idol. Too much of a mouthful. iTunes
Love
probably
it.
Couldn't handle it. Yeah, there would have been a lot of ellipses in iTunes if I were to stick with that name. And it is a combination reality podcasting competition, you know, basically the same thing you've seen on TV where you start with 12 contestants, whittle them on all down to one, last person standing, but also, kind of underlying that in this kind of, secret way, it's actually a how-to of podcasting for podcasters, for budding podcasters.
You know, I was going, one of the comments I was going to make after having listened to just episode one is, I feel like this podcast is not only meant to be entertaining, and there's definitely a great portion of it, which I found quite entertaining, but for people that are aspiring to get into podcasting, or even people that are current podcasters, it can be educational as well. Myself, just having listened to the judges comment on the podcasts that were submitted for the first episode, I was hearing some of the commentary from the judges, and the first things I was thinking of is, wow, I could probably apply that to my own show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's funny because we're a couple of weeks ahead because there's a lot of editing that needs to happen
Sure.
between what gets recorded. I've learned, you know, there are three or four things that I've actually written down that have come from the judges, that have come from Tom Merritt's coaching, that it's like, wow, I don't know why I'm not doing that with my own podcasting. You know, the biggest takeaway from that first episode, the one you just heard, not including the introduction episode, but the one you just heard is why should we care? You know, jury used that with the contestants to say, all right, you're doing this podcast. Why should we care? And if you answer that one question, if you deliver on that one question, you've got a podcast that people are going to want to listen to, because it's like, all right, I care because this person is has a lot of the same opinions I do, or has very opposite opinions from what I do. You know, it's a great thing that people should be asking themselves when they record.
Absolutely. And of course, as you mentioned, Jury, a.k.a. Justin Robert Young, who I am Yes. calling the Simon Cowell of this show.
He is, man. Yeah.
He's joined by two other judges as well, Nicole Spagnolo, who you or somebody labeled as the Paula Abdul of the show.
Yeah, that was me. She totally fits that.
Yeah. And then I think Scott Johnson is an excellent Randy. I think you have your perfect trio right there.
I think so. And it's funny because Scott feels like the only thing that Randy Jackson ever did for contestants was just call them dog. And he was kind of there to be the realist that wouldn't tear down somebody to give them their advice. And I'm certainly not saying that Justin Robert Young does that. Scott has a really good way, and I don't even think he realizes he does this. He has a really good way of taking the nugget of criticism or advice that he has and slathering it in a really, really well-deserved compliment so that you get both at the same time and don't even realize you're getting both. That's what Randy Jackson did, I believe. And I think that's what Scott does as well. Plus he's going to get everybody's name wrong because that's just Scott.
Yeah. And I love it without spoiling too much. One of the podcasts being a podcast about names.
Yes. Right. Yes. Almost made for him. Right.
Absolutely. And one thing I should mention is that this podcast, not only is it just the main series of, you know, the week to week episodes of the main show, but what you are having your contestants submit is also included on the podcast feed itself to be listened to.
Exactly right. Yeah. So we want it to feel like when you're getting the feed, you're going to get the individual submissions by each of the teams. And then a couple days later, you're going to get the podcast of the making of. It's always going to start with me interviewing each of the teams and getting a little taste of their work sessions. We record their work sessions as well. So you get to hear the germinations of ideas and bad ideas and good. Then you get coaching with Tom about the one that they're producing. And then you get the judging and elimination. And if you want to really, you know, make it as true to life as possible, then I guess you should pause after Tom, listen to the submissions, and then pick up with the judging from there, because then everything's in chronological order. But I think it's really fun to hear the end results. And we've even given them some advice on, God, if you ever decide to make this into a real show, I would totally subscribe. I think there were a couple even in that first episode you listened to. It's like that What's a Name, I think, is a brilliant concept for a show. If you get different people every time. Again, I don't want to give too much away for people who haven't heard that episode yet, but it's really, really well done.
Absolutely. Now, one thing that was kind of the initial hook for me, and of course, I'm someone who listens to all these podcasts that are about Blizzard Entertainment Games. I'm listening to episode 0 of this show where you're introducing all the contestants. And the thing I was picking up on the most where the contestants were talking about themselves were most of them listened to The Instance as their first podcast, mm-hmm. which didn't surprise me.
Right.
A lot of people who are fans of the Frog Pants Network have been listening to TMS and all of that. Just all the fandom and the appreciation that there was for Blizzard podcasting itself, someone, their first show they listened to was All Things Azeroth. One person competing is an Overwatch podcaster, right, who I've actually had on the show. And the person who I'm rooting for has never done a podcast, but is totally just a big fan of Heroes and Hearthstone. So, yeah, I'm going to be a little bit biased. I think people probably, if you know who Monica is on the show, that's who I'm rooting for. But just, I'm kind of curious, how did you go about choosing these contestants? Because there's such a variety there from experienced podcasters to people who have hardly ever hit record.
Yeah, well, it was basically went on at the same time as our Kickstarter to get the funding for the show. We had applications going for all the people who wanted to be part of it, kind of letting them know roughly what was going to be involved. You know, it'd be a grueling 12-week process. 12 weeks for the person who lasts the longest. And really we didn't give them much else besides that. They were going to be going through challenges and things, throughout those 12 weeks. We had, a couple hundred, I think about 250, 280 people apply.
Wow.
And for each of them, we asked some specific questions. You know, what was the first podcast you listened to? What do you, your existing hobbies and interests? How long have you been podcasting? We wanted to make sure that everybody who was participating was around the podcasting space for less than 5 years. We didn't want any ringers in there. We didn't want Jury to disguise his voice, Justin Robert Young disguise his voice and become a contestant for this. And I feel like we did get a really, really good cross-section. We've even got one person who's part of America's Next Top Podcaster, who's Australian.
Yes. Bridget, right? Or Gidget?
Gidget. Yeah, we've got a Gidget and a Bridget.
There's a Bridget and a Gidget. I know. See, even I can mess up names.
We've got a Jerry and a Carrie. I mean, it's if we were doing our homework, we might have prevented some of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we felt like we got a really good cross-section. And even when we were putting teams together, we wanted to kind of make sure there was some balance. We didn't want to have four people who've been podcasting for almost 5 years altogether. We want to make sure that all the people who were brand new to podcasting weren't all on the same team. And I feel like we lucked out with the way we arranged the teams. There's some really, really good synergy that's happening. Some great camaraderie that we're hearing in future sessions between all these people that has come about from all this. I think that we're going to find a lot of these people continuing to podcast together in the future after this is all wrapped up.
Now, the last thing I wanted to ask you before we wrap things up here is, I know that in many kind of reality show formats, there tends to be some form or method of audience participation, a way to kind of like influence the vote or help determine one aspect of the show or another. Of course, this is the very first year for America's Next Top Podcaster, but have you given any consideration to that kind of audience participation? Maybe not immediately at the beginning, but later down the line?
We absolutely have. Yeah, the finals are going to be decided by the supporters of the show. So everyone who is a Kickstarter backer, right now, by the way, everyone who was a Kickstarter backer is getting all the audio content that we record for every show, which is hours of audio content, longer sessions with Tom, longer unedited judging sessions, and all their work sessions. So they're getting a ton of content. They're also going to get a chance to vote for the finals, or they're also going to get to vote for the finals. And we're working out a way. We were going to do it via Patreon. We're deciding that we want it just to be kind of one lump sum as opposed to a week by week thing. For people who are getting in late, really want to support the show, but missed out on the Kickstarter, they're going to be able to get all that audio content as well and be able to vote for their favorite podcaster in the finals.
That's awesome. I hope that gets up and running, because I would strongly consider that Patreon option myself, because as I mentioned, I'd heard whispers of this, and you had mentioned, you know, kind of like your work on this over the past several weeks or months, but now the pitch is over, now that it's finally out there in the open to listen to, and I've listened to these first couple episodes, I am absolutely hooked. This is something I have to listen to every week, and I want to make sure other people know about it so they can check it out as well, because I think they're going to have a lot of fun listening to
it. I appreciate that, Ro. Thank you very much.
Not a problem. Now, how can people best get connected with you and America's Next Top Podcaster? Because I imagine, you know, you go to all the usual places, iTunes, Stitcher, and all that stuff. Do you guys have a social media set up? How can they get connected?
We do. Yeah. So the website is americasnexttoppodcaster.com. Easy enough. Our Twitter is Podcasting Idol. And, because we were basing it off of the original name.
Right.
So Podcasting Idol on Twitter, or visit the website, and there's ways to contact us there if you want to get more information. And like I said, we should have that support the show option up within a week, and all that back content will become available for everybody. So they'll get caught up with everything. As a matter of fact, there's even a secret feed that they get where they get stuff a couple days before iTunes and Google Play and Stitcher and the other RSS feeds get it. So another good reason to support the show.
Outstanding. Well, as I heard, it's been something that's been 5 years in the making, and it's sounding pretty good so far. I am definitely looking forward to the rest of the season. I hope others check it out as well. Thank you so much for being on the show this week to talk about it.
Oh, my pleasure, Ro. Thanks for having me.
And that sound means your update is complete. It's time to press the play button and watch everyone else try, and mostly fail, to secure a Love Rocket mount in WoW. I do not think I will be trying to get the Love Rocket at all. If I try once or twice and I get the rocket, I will probably not post about it on Twitter, because I feel like my life would be endangered. I feel like I'd get a knock on the door and Markkonen would be looking for me with an evil look in his eyes. Hi, Markkonen. Folks, thank you for listening to the podcast. Of course, this is one part of Realm Maintenance Productions. I do a couple other shows, the Rolling Restart, which is a World of Warcraft podcast, and Hearth Casual, which covers Hearthstone. You can support all three shows by going to patreon.com/realmpodcast. You can also give us 5-star reviews on iTunes. Just talk about the shows via word of mouth. Any support or in spreading of the word about the show is greatly appreciated. If this happens to be your first time listening to the podcast, you can find it on most podcasting apps, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio, as well as Spotify. And don't forget to check out realm-maintenance.com, where you can find not only the weekly podcast roundup, but a directory of most podcasts out there covering your favorite Blizzard franchises. Now, if you're a podcaster and have news about your show, or a promo to send in, or if you're just a listener with questions about Blizzard games or podcasts, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Realm Podcast, or follow myself at Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Episode 280 is coming at you in 2 weeks, and with the return of the Overwatch League comes the return of interviews with Overwatch League podcasts. Join me in the conversation with the host of the OWL Recap on February 26th. Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2019, and is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. You can find more great shows at frozenfoxmedia.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. The show's theme music is a cover of Call to Arms by Emma Fox. Thanks once again to Jared Eggleston and Brian Ibbett for being on the show this week. Don't forget to follow at RollNeedShow and at PodcastingIdol on Twitter. Thanks for your interest, your retweets, and your downloads of this show and others in the Blizzard podcasting community. And as always, thanks for listening.
This week in StarCraft, Blizzard announced the rest of the 2019 StarCraft schedule, with WCS Spring and Summer to take place live in Kiev. WCS Fall will take place at DreamHack Montreal, 3 Challenger Series, 3 GSLs, 2 GSL Super Tournaments, and GSL vs. the World will fill out the rest of the remaining schedule. Blizzard also revised their recent policy change restricting players from competing in both Season 1 of GSL and Season 1 of WCS Challenger. It was intended to limit the number of WCS Circuit players who would compete in the Korean tournament, and it was successful as all the usual foreigners except for Scarlet pulled out of the GSL competition. Season 2 and 3 will return to the 2018 rules. In addition, Blizzard announced plans to release a second war chest later this year. In WCS Winter EU, Serral advanced first out of his group, undefeated. Rainer, Euthermal, Harrowmarine, Elazer, Harstump, Lambo, Mana, Namshar, Rail, Hellraiser, and Petit Drogo also advanced, with Nurgio falling out 0-4. Showtime, Zanster, Sort of, and Hate Me will play later today. In WCS Winter NA, Neve advanced undefeated, with Time, Probe, Rex, Massa, Astraea, Coffee, and Sulky, Hasp, Puck, Firefly, and Zyark play later today. Group Stage 2 begins February 14th for both regions. Brood War Patch 1.22.3 has arrived. The first season of 2019 has officially begun, featuring new Zerg-themed ranked play rewards. Other new features have been added to the WCS Game Heart extension mod, which will now automatically prevent skins from being displayed for players, but skins will be visible to observers. In GSL Season 1, two GSL players received the Nestie Award for 10 consecutive Code S appearances this week, Classic and Lucira. They are the 9th and 10th players to accomplish the feat. MC joined Root Gaming this week. One of the most decorated players of all time, MC retired from pro gaming in 2016 to become a League of Legends coach, but he looked anything but rusty in the leadoff match of the GSL group stages this week, easily defeating Stats, last year's BlizzCon finalist, before being knocked out himself. Emerging from group stages so far this week are Dark and Deer, Classic and Trap, Gumiho and Cure, SOS and Bunny. Mario and Scarlet are next to play along with Sue, Innovation, TY, Zest, and Rogue in groups E through H. In ASL Season 7, the round of 16 group stages have just begun, with Effort and Harangue 2 advancing over Goomchi and Piano. IEM Katowice 2019 group stages begin February 25th and March 3rd. And that's your very busy week in StarCraft.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter at Frozen Fox Media. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.